Fan God's Gift into Flame. Theological Rationale for Developing an Annual Spiritual and Professional Growth Plan. Thinking Theologically About the Blessings of Planning for Growth. Part 2. Pondering Some Blessings That Empower Faith-Filled Planning. Blessing Number 4. Planning for Growth is an Exercise in Gospel Freedom by which we partner to hold up high the God-given honor of the public ministry. This blessing responds to the concern expressed about planning for growth. Isn't it a form of legalism to develop a synod-wide system that compels all pastors to plan for growth? The simple answer is again, yes, it could be. There is no command of God that states, "Thou shalt annually lay before the feet of thy circuit pastor a detailed plan for spiritual and professional growth." Such a forced march toward growth would be evidence that those who have been called to urge continuing education in our synod have grown frustrated with the slow pace of gospel encouragement. Are they now relying on laying down the law to accomplish what that gospel encouragement couldn't seem to accomplish? And yes, pastors could approach such a synod-wide mandate as just so many hoops to jump through to keep the circuit pastor or district president or director of Grow in Grace happy by seeming to play along with their silly little game. Such hoop jumping would benefit no one, least of all the eternal souls we serve in all our callings. Can't all of this simply be another example of what in gospel freedom we agree to do together so as to uphold high standards for those serving in public ministry? Could it be that annual growth plans are essentially no different than the standards we have agreed to uphold for what we expect before someone is presented as eligible for a call? For those pursuing the pastoral ministry, there is obviously no biblical requirement that working for 4 years to earn a Bachelor of Arts degree must be followed by 3 academic years and 1 vicar year in pursuit of a Master of Divinity degree. Where is it written that this is the only divinely ordained path to being declared candidatum reverendi ministeri? But together, for the sake of gospel ministry, we have agreed that for most candidates for public ministry, such pre-ministerial standards honor the gospel and prepare men to begin their service in the pastoral ministry as well-equipped shepherds of souls. Could it be that agreeing to put together a regular plan for growth is the same concept of upholding high standards for the public ministry after graduation that our pre-ministerial training provides for us before graduation? Instead of merely agreeing on a path for growth for potential called workers for 4, 8, or 12 years, can we not also agree on ways that could help us toward growth for 40 or 50 years? The students in our ministerial education schools have no eternal souls entrusted to their care in the public ministry. We may have hundreds or even thousands entrusted to our care. Might not that make it even more important to consider the wisdom of some form of post-graduation pattern for how we might encourage each other in growth? So much of what we agree to do together in carrying out the work of our synod are just such agreements to do things in a particular way that admittedly could be done in a different way for the sake of carrying out the work of the gospel as wisely and well as possible. To call any or all of this in and of itself legalism is to tear to shreds many of our long-cherished paths by which we seek to do the Lord's work decently and in order. To urge each called worker to do whatever they see fit in their own eyes when it comes to ministry-long growth may seem to guard against legalism. However, all it may accomplish is blocking useful structure from developing among us that can help us all be better encouragers to one another for the sake of the gospel. To cry legalism may reveal more about the hidden motives of my natural sinful heart than any inherent weakness of the initiative that drew my criticism. Please allow me to add a very personal comment. It has been my concern all along in working with others to design this encouragement and the patterns being proposed with it that we not substitute law for gospel as that on which we ultimately rely to compel us toward growth. My concern has been to guard the rich variety of ways that called workers can grow that fit the different varieties of gifts that Jesus gives to each of us and the different ministry settings to which He calls us through His church. Since God has not ordained any one way to plan for growth, I am willing to grant that there will always be considerable room for improvement in such a proposed process in order to provide safeguards against legalism and mindless conformity to a humanly devised process. The goal is not to produce empty growth activity that looks good only in official reports. I pray for the humility to be ready to listen to truth spoken in love suggestions that could make all this a better tool for real growth for all of us in all our callings. But know this, it is not legalism to set up ways that open up opportunities to provide any of us as called workers with a fitting rebuke, lovingly spoken, whenever we are in danger of imitating Luther's swineherds rather than Christ's under-shepherds. Since much more has been entrusted to us, and much more will be demanded of us, Luke 12, verse 48, it can be argued that public ministers stand in the greatest need of a robust system for such checks and balances on our service. God has entrusted eternal souls into our care. Those who know the grace of Christ have nothing to fear from honest rebuke. We have nothing to fear, since no accurate rebuke will ever reveal anything that has not been answered long ago in the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus. We stand on grace even when we evaluate our service in our callings. We are not evaluating our identity in Jesus. Instead, as we contemplate the glory of His grace, we are only considering how we might more clearly reflect that glory in all the places we serve as His masks. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Nor is it legalism to set up ways that provide public ministers with more regular opportunities to hear that gospel spoken to us by others within the body of Christ. It is so easy in public ministry to preach grace, but to live driven by the law. The more opportunity we have for others to speak God's grace to our hearts and to our ministries, the better for our souls and our ministries.